Today is the 15th day of March. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is fantastic to be here with you today as we take the next step forward together here around the global campfire. And that next step will lead us back out into the book of Numbers, which we've been traveling through for a while now. The children of Israel have had to go back into the wilderness, and they've been trying to pass through different nations just on the road, like just to get through, just to get somewhere. And that's been shut down, and now they have had some battles and have actually conquered a little bit of territory, which is very much unsettling the land of Moab. And King Balak, who has sent for a person named Balaam to curse the Israelites. The first time an envoy was sent to Balaam, God told him he can't go, and so he didn't go. And so a more prestigious envoy has been sent, and God has told Balaam he can go with these men, but he is to only say what he hears God tell him to say. And that is where we pick up the story today. Numbers chapter 22, verse 21 through 23, verse 30. So Balaam rose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. But God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as his adversary. Now he was riding on the donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the road and went into the field. And Balaam struck the donkey to turn her into the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on either side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed against the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a fool of me, I wish I had a sword in my hand, for then I would kill you." And the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life long to this day? Is it my habit to treat you this way?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed down and fell on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to oppose you, because your way is perverse before me." The donkey saw me and turned aside before me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely just now I would have killed you and let her live. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you stood in the road against me. Now therefore, if it is evil in your sight, I will turn back." And the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but speak only the word that I tell you." So Balaam went on with the princes of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam had come, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab, on the border formed by the Arnon, at the extremity of the border. And Balak said to Balaam, "Did I not send to you to call you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you?" Balaam said to Balak, "Behold, I have come to you. Have I now any power of my own to speak anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that must I speak. Then Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kiriath Uzal. And Balak sacrificed oxen and sheep and sent for Balaam and for the princes who were with him. And in the morning Balak took Balaam and brought him up to Bamoth Baal, and from there he saw a fraction of the people. And Balaam said to Balak, "Build for me here 7 altars, and prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams." Balak did as Balaam had said, and Balak and Balaam offered on each altar a bull and a ram. And Balaam said to Balak, "Stand beside your burnt offering, and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you." And he went to a bare height, and God met Balaam. And Balaam said to him, "I have arranged the 7 altars, and I have offered on each altar a bull and a ram." And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and thus you shall speak." And he returned to him, and behold, he and all the princes of Moab were standing beside his burnt offering. And Balaam took up his discourse and said, "From Aram, Balak has brought me, the king of Moab from the eastern mountains. Come, curse Jacob for me, and come, denounce Israel. How can I curse whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the crags I see him. From the hills I behold him. Behold, a people dwelling alone and not counting itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number the 4th part of Israel? Let me die the death of the upright, and let my end be like his." And Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and behold, you have done nothing but bless them." And he answered and said, "Must I not take care to speak what the Lord puts in my mouth?" And Balak said to him, "Please come with me to another place from which you may see them. You shall see only a fraction of them and shall not see them all. Then curse them for me from there." And he took him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Balaam said to Balak, "Stand here beside your burnt offering while I meet the Lord over there." And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and thus you shall speak." And he came to him, and behold, he was standing beside his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said to him, "What has the Lord spoken?" And Balaam took up his discourse and said, "Rise, Balak, and hear. Give ear to me, O son of Zippor. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Behold, I received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot revoke it. He has not beheld misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord their God is with them, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt, and is for them like the horns of the wild ox. For there is no enchantment against Jacob, no divination against Israel. Now it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, what has God wrought? Behold, a people, as a lioness it rises up, and as a lion it lifts itself. It does not lie down until it has devoured the prey and drunk the blood of the slain." And Balak said to Balaam, "Do not curse them at all, and do not bless them at all." But Balaam answered Balak, "Did I not tell you all that the Lord says that I must do?" And Balak said to Balaam, "Come now, I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God that you may curse them for me from there." So Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor, which overlooks the desert. And Balaam said to Balak, "Build for me here 7 altars and prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams." And Balak did as Balaam had said and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Luke 1:57-80. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Psalm 58. God who judges the earth. To the choir master, according to Do Not Destroy, a miktam of David. Do you indeed decree what is right, you gods? Do you judge the children of man uprightly? No, in your hearts you devise wrongs. Your hands deal out violence on earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. They have venom like the venom of a serpent, like the deaf adder that stops its ear, so that it does not hear the voice of charmers or of the cunning enchanter. O God, break the teeth in their mouths. Tear out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. Let them vanish like water that runs away. When he aims his arrows, let them be blunted. Let them be like the snail that dissolves into slime, like the stillborn child who never sees the sun. Sooner than your pots can feel the heat of thorns, whether green or ablaze, may he sweep them away. The righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance, He will bathe his feet in the blood of the wicked. Mankind will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth. Proverbs 11, 12, and 13. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Okay, so in the book of Numbers, we are reading the story of Balaam and Balak. Balak, the king of Moab, and Balaam, the sort of prophet, enchanter sort of figure who speaks for God and has been called to, well, to put a curse upon God's people, which he can't do. But there is so much in that story that we'll get to today and tomorrow that really, really forces us to look at our own motivations and our own lives. So we have a pretty interesting, very intriguing story today where a donkey speaks to Balaam. His donkey has a conversation with him. Very unusual. But if we go back to the story, you know, Balak sent an envoy to Balaam and God told him, don't go. And so he sent the envoy back to King Balak, who subsequently sent more prestigious people to request of Balaam that he come and take a look at the situation that he's dealing with. There's a people he's afraid of. He needs them to be cursed. They outnumber him. They are intimidating them. Now let's look at what's at stake here. If Balaam goes and is able to curse this people that are out in the wilderness, then the payoff is honor and wealth and power. And those are incentives that seem to span millennia. For thousands of years, people have definitely been seduced by honor and wealth and power. Balaam, however, has already been instructed by God that he can't say anything that God isn't saying. And he's already told him he can't go. So he inquires of God the second time, and this time God says he can go. He should accompany these people back to Balak, but he is only to say what God has told him to say. But that opens up a little crack in the door. God's letting me go with these people. Maybe God is leading me into honor and wealth and power. And so he's got this in the back of his mind as he gets on his donkey to take this journey. If you don't understand that piece of the story, then all Balaam is doing is obeying God, getting on his donkey and off he goes. And then there's an angel who's angry, who wants to kill him, and it doesn't make any sense. But Balaam's got the idea that maybe he is moving into something that will make him prosperous. Maybe he'll be allowed to do or say or curse or whatever when he gets there, because God has given him permission to go. And so he begins to think about these things as he's riding on his donkey, and his donkey is the one that's aware that there is an angel with a sword standing in the path. And so the donkey moves into a field to avoid the angel, which embarrasses Balaam. They get back on the road, and then Balaam's foot gets smashed on a wall, which makes him very, very angry. And then the angel moves into a place where there's nowhere to go. And so the donkey just sits down, and Balaam is furious and beats the donkey. His donkey, the one that he's had for his life, the one that he knows, the one where they know each other. And then the Lord opens the mouth of the donkey and a little conversation happens that tells us the rest of the story. So the donkey says, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And then Balaam answers the donkey with the truth. "Because you have made a fool of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand, for then I would kill you." So now we begin to realize that God has given Balaam instructions to only speak what God has spoken. But now Balaam is concerned about how he looks. And he's not going to look good when he has to tell King Balak that he cannot curse what God has blessed. And so this is all coming out on the journey, reiterating for Balaam that he must only speak what the Lord tells him to speak. He's not being led into any kind of other alternative. He's not necessarily being led into power and wealth and honor. He's being sent on a mission to speak on behalf of God very clearly to King Balak. This is very helpful when we consider our own motivations and the postures of our heart and what we believe God is leading us to do. And we very much like to make things situational so that we can get the kind of answer that we want to hear. But just because we get permission from the Lord to take the next step forward does not mean that He has approved all of our plans. We've gotten permission to take the next step forward, and we have permission to follow His leading. But so often, once we get through the door, we're off and running. And we can make a mess of things and then turn around and blame God for it. So this story that is unfolding before us, and there's more for us as we continue the story, allows us to look into a situation that quite easily can be looked at through our own eyes in the circumstances of our own lives. But if we go through that door with mixed motives, we have already compromised ourselves. So there's plenty to think about there today. And then when we turn over into the Gospel of Luke, we have the story of the birth and the naming of John the Baptist. His name will be John, which is not a name that was in Zechariah's family. But when Zechariah did affirm that his name will be John, everyone wondered about that. There was conversation about that. But his mouth was opened and he worshipped and spoke a prophetic worship to God, which made all of the people wonder because he hadn't been able to talk during the entire pregnancy. And so now here he is affirming this odd name for his family line and then speaking out prophetic worship to God. And he's a priest and he's around the priestly families, and so they're seeing all this. And they begin to talk about it all throughout the countryside, according to the Gospel of Luke. And so the birth of John didn't happen in a vacuum, like under some deep cover and nobody even knew. A lot of things happened in the priestly community around the birth of John. This was an unusual pregnancy because Zechariah and Elizabeth were too old to have children. And so they do have this child, but then Zechariah is in the temple and sees a vision, and there's an angel in a conversation, and then he's struck dumb and he can't speak throughout the pregnancy. So there's all this stuff swirling around this baby in Elizabeth's womb. So when this baby is born and named John, and his father Zechariah's mouth is open and he speaks worship to God, everybody is wondering what's gonna become of this kid. So it's not like John the Baptist shows up out of the wilderness at the Jordan River. Nobody's ever heard of him. He's just a guy, 18-mile walk from Jerusalem, out at the Jordan River, outside of Jericho, baptizing people randomly. As soon as the word starts spreading about this guy wearing camel's hair and eating locusts and coming in out of the desert and saying, "Repent it wouldn't have taken too long to put it together. This is that baby. This is Zechariah and Elizabeth's kid. When all of that stuff was swirling around him when he was born, everyone was wondering what's going to become of this kid. Maybe he's a legitimate prophet. There hasn't been a prophet for 400 years, and there's mysterious and even miraculous things swirling around his birth. And now he's baptizing people, asking them to repent and return to God. That's what a prophet would do. Return to me. Return to God. Maybe this is what's got to happen before God does what God's going to do. And so John didn't just show up randomly. Since they knew the story and heard what he was saying, they began to believe he was a prophet of God. All except for those who were in religious authority. And they didn't, for the most part. And as we continue the story, we'll see John and his life and what he went through. But we will also see the same kind of treatment, and worse, of Jesus our Savior. And so this gives us a little bit of background for where we're moving in the Gospel of Luke. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for another day to be together, centered around the scriptures and around the global campfire, around each other. We thank you for these gifts of one another and the scriptures, and every day to take the next step forward. And today we have been challenged in our motives as we look at the story of Balak and Balaam. And so, Holy Spirit, come and help us to examine, are we following you or are we telegraphing what we want after you've given us the next step forward? Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. It is the website, and it's where you find out what's going on around here, so certainly check in and check it out. If you are using the Daily Audio Bible app, you can do that inside the app as well. So check out things like the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there. Things like Promised Land, photographs from the land of the Bible, a beautiful coffee table edition that allows us to kind of thumb through the beautiful pages of this land where the Bible happened. So this land that we are reading about is not a mythical land, it's a real place, and we can glimpse into it, or the Promised Land films, for that matter, to take the journey deeper into motion pictures and just get little snippets, little glimpses of these places where pivotal moments in the Bible happened. You can find those resources as well as a number of other resources that are made for the journey, made for going through the Bible together like this in a year, in the Daily Audio Bible shop. So check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this global campfire that we have a place at every day is life-giving to you and enriching in your life and encouraging, then thank you for your partnership. We wouldn't be here if we weren't in this together, and so thank you profoundly and humbly. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. It's Sebastian. God, my Heavenly Father, I thank you for releasing me from anxiety, depression, from occasional suicide thoughts. Thank you for releasing me from shame and fear. Thank you for taking care of my mental health. Thank you for taking care of my mental health. I'm grateful, God. I'm grateful, Jesus. I am grateful, Heavenly Father, my dear, beautiful, loving Father. Thank you for blessing me and blessing this community. And thank you for taking care of my mental health. Thank you. It's so great. It's so healthy to believe and fear you. And to know that you love me and that you love this entire community way more than anyone can ever understand. So thank you for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for blessing this community. And thank all of you for listening to me. God bless all of you. Bye.
Good morning. I've got an awesome story to tell y'all. I was on my treadmill this morning praising God for the walk that I started in my Lenten journey to give up alcohol. I was praising God for freedom. My mind is being cleared and healed. I find myself less fearful and more confident than I've ever been before. I feel so much of God's love in me in a reality I've never known before. I started drinking at the age of 10. I would drink to hide. I would drink for courage. I would drink for strength. I would drink to celebrate. I would drink to mourn. Whatever the reason, I would drink. As I was on the treadmill, I about fell off when I heard Sean's voice. He was on day 7. Praise God. I am on day 8. I was on day 8. Everything he said, I felt. And I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful place to be. Hallelujah. I'm 64. And I have freedom. And I praise God for Sean's first testimony, because I felt everything that he was going through. I felt it all. And praise God, I don't have to feel that anymore, because I have the strength of God through all of you guys, through all of your prayers. I thank you so much. I thank you so much. This is Jerry.
Hi, today's March 11th. My name is Hema. I am calling for my son. His name is Joseph. He's 21 years old. I recently found out that he has been soliciting sex. I'm not sure if with males or females. My heart is broken, and I've been frantically looking for help, frantically praying, but I don't think my prayers are being productive because I'm praying in fear. I really don't want to lose my son. I want God to reach him. I would appreciate anybody's prayers. Thank you.
Hi, Dab Fam. This is Halo calling from Colorado. I'm 9, and I had a friend. Her name is Emma. She was a really bad influence on me. So I couldn't handle the way she acted, so I told her I didn't want to be her friend no more. She didn't take that well, and I feel really bad. So I ask for prayers so I don't feel this way. Love you, family. Bye.
Good morning, DAB. This is Jin Inman calling on Saturday, March 12th, regarding the reading today about how the city was being destroyed from the inside. And as I heard that, I thought that's true of ourselves, that our city, ourselves, we can destroy ourselves from the inside out. And it's my thought, it's my intentions, it's my emotions that I need to guard, that can tear down myself. I mean, we have enemies on the outside, but sometimes our enemy is ourself. And it was just kind of enlightening for me. And then Brian confirmed it when he gave his little talk after. And I thought that encouraged my soul because, yes, that was the Holy Spirit teaching me at that moment, talking to me and leading me to think, to guard myself. And it was a glorious morning. It's almost 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm out getting ready to go to work, and it's just a nice way to start a day. So happy Saturday, everybody. Bye. This is Jin Inman.